Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back and making his eighth appearance with us on Thursday Night Tailgate as our wonderful partner and a great friend and a guy who's, you know, been so great to us over the years, and that's Randy Manier. Let me remind you about Randy's background. He's from Indianapolis, Indiana, played his college ball at Purdue, where he led the Boilermakers in rushing touchdowns in 1964. He was a 20th-round draft pick in 1966 by the New York Giants. Played in the NFL from 66 to 1970 with the Giants and the Browns. He spent 30 years as the chairman of the board of the NFL Alumni Association and is now their chairman of the board emeritus. In September of 2015, he became a member of our Thursday Night Tailgate Guest Hall of Fame. Later on that year, in November, he was inducted into the Indianapolis Public School System Hall of Fame. Randy is a gentleman, is, you know, such a great influence here for both Bob and I and the show in general, and a guy that both Bob and I admire a great deal and have a great deal of respect for, and we're thrilled he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, Randy, Chris, and Bob. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing? You know, it's a great honor and a great pleasure for me, believe me. That's very kind words that you said, but to be a part of what I think is the finest radio talk show, sports talk show especially, and that I've ever known is such a great honor. So I appreciate the opportunity to come back and chat with y'all.
We appreciate you, Randy. So, you know, Randy, we've missed talking with you since we last saw you in May. Catch us up. What's been going on?
Well, you know, it's been kind of the same old story. A lot of high school football. I think, you know, I took over, you know, I'm one who has a hard time saying no. And Brown County High School approached me to take over the football program. So I became the head coach of the Brown County Eagles, head football coach, retired from baseball and now just doing football. And I, you know, I told my wife, it won't be that much more time. Don't worry about it, sweetie. I'll be home as much as I always have been, you know. And they come to find out this is a 365-day-a-year job, not 24/7. So between football and being over at the club, it's been very busy. But things are going well, and you guys both sound great, and it sounds like the show, I've been keeping up with it, is just going so well. Your guests are phenomenal, and it's fun to be back with you guys.
We appreciate it, Randy. So, Randy, give us your thoughts on your alma mater, Purdue. They won a bowl game for only the second time in the last 10 years. It's good to see that program starting back down the good path. How do you feel about the job that head coach Jeff Brohm did in his first season at Purdue?
I think he did a phenomenal job. I have to admit, I didn't know much about Jeff. I knew the kind of job he'd done with Western Kentucky. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
Where he came from, I knew he had done a great job there, but I was kind of in favor of the guy from Western Michigan that eventually went to where'd he go, Minnesota.
That's right.
You know, the road, the boat man. But when we got Jeff in, I had the great honor, the entire Purdue University staff and the Indiana new staff came down to our Indiana State coaches convention, and I got a chance to sit and talk football with them, get to know them. I'll tell you what, both coaching staffs are wonderful, but I think we're talking about Purdue. I really like Jeff Brohm. I like the way he talks about football, his excitement, his enthusiasm, his son, who I think played 12 years in the pros, is our quarterback coach, and I met the whole coaching staff, really good people. I think he has really gotten to the kids the way they played this year, even games they lost. They never gave up. They played fast. They played tough. I think he's just done a wonderful job. One of the good things, I think he's reached out to a lot of us who are alumni and are in the coaching ranks in the high school level. He's reached out to us already to talk about any of our kids or anybody we see. Which is one of the things that I think we really needed. We really needed to get some good recruiting, and I think Jeff and his staff will do that. But I thought they just played so well, and I was so proud to see us back in the bowl game again and taking some victories, and it really, boy, did my heart good, and I was very proud of him. And I think he's really going to build a real first-rate program there at Purdue, and I think that's where we need to be.
Bob, questions for Randy?
Randy, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and Happy New Year. And I know you had a birthday a couple weeks ago. Happy birthday also. It's an honor to speak with you always.
Well, thank you, pal. Always an honor and a pleasure to speak to you, too, I'll tell you. but thank you, and Happy New Year to you guys. I forgot to say that. Yeah, I did have a birthday. I think it was 39, but I'm not sure.
I was going to say 49, but no big deal.
Thanks. Oh, thanks, Bob. I needed that one. Yeah, I'll take 49.
Randy, I want to stay on the topic of Purdue, but and basically your experience at that institution. We talked to Jim Everett a lot. He always brings it up, you know, football power, whatever. But we forget about how great an academic institution that is, and I'm sure you're just as thankful for what they gave you academically as they did getting you to the NFL. Talk about the educational experience at Purdue for yourself.
Bar none. They are a great educational institution. I think that, as you say, and rightfully so, sometimes people forget that. I mean, that's what we all went to school for, is to get our education. We had the opportunity to play football, and we got the opportunity to get a really, really good education. It has carried me so far. I got a coaching and teaching degree, but I really wanted to do a little more than that, and I also got a degree in biological science, a minor in biological science, because I really wanted to be a teacher and a coach. And what they taught me, because I ended up in Wall Street, you know how that happened, is a really kind of a crazy story, but spent 40 years in the financial industry, and I think the educational process at Purdue taught me not only biology and a degree there, and teaching and coaching and a degree there, but it taught me how to study, how to learn, what I need to do if just as I did, I kind of changed vocations for a while. And I think their education there is par excellence. I know they've always been ranked as one of the great, engineering schools, agricultural, obviously. And yet, if you take a look at the Krannert School of Business is rated very high. I think we've always been one of the top engineering schools. It is a great school. Anyone wants to go and get a really good education. Veterinary school is among the top. But in just about anything you choose, and Purdue offers it, and it's I'm always very proud. And I know when I got into the financial industry, and I did a lot of recruiting for the financial industry, and then I would interview and a Purdue certificate diploma is something that it carries a lot of weight. And, you know, not that the other Big Ten schools don't, but I think Purdue is one of the finest. So it really prepared me for life, which is what I've always been thankful for. Thankful that I got a chance to play college football at an institution like that, got a chance to play on what for a while was ranked the number one team in the nation and things like that. But I look back now and realize that the real the really important thing that I got was a great education.
And Randy, Chris had mentioned a 20th round draft pick. Obviously, a kid now hearing that would say, "What 20th round? There's no such thing." But of course, the game has changed, the draft has changed, and everything. Was that a very grueling time for you, waiting to see if you get picked, who would pick you? Take us back in your expectations in 1966.
Bob, you're exactly right. I was told that I was going to be taken in the second round. And at that time, they had what they call babysitters. And I had a gentleman come and pick me up Saturday morning because the draft was Saturday and Sunday. And he took me downtown Indianapolis to a hotel, and we sat in the hotel room waiting to be picked. And, of course, I sat there all day Saturday, and nothing happened. And then most of Sunday, and then I finally got a call from Mr. Mara, and, you know, was offered a contract with the Giants. And it was, I have to admit, you know, when you're being told and that you're probably going to go in the second, maybe the third round, and it's the 20th round, that it sounded so bad to me. But I did find out many years later from another fella that was from Purdue, who was in my class, that I basically got the same amount of money that another team's first-round draft choice got. So I didn't feel too bad about that, but that took me 40 years to find that out. But I won't say it disappointed me, but it, you know, I just thought, well, maybe they don't want me as much as I thought they did, or that someone did. And you know what? Maybe it just, I think it just made me work that much harder to say that, okay, I'm going to make this team no matter what, and I was lucky enough to do that.
And Randy, as a former member of the New York Giants, had to be painful watching them this season. What do you think they need to do over the offseason to get themselves back on track?
Oh, Chris, you can't even imagine how bad it was. You know, I really thought, and we had talked a little bit when we were together, that I kind of thought that they might be up there in the running.
Yes.
And they just, I mean, really, but I think that the injuries of a couple of wide receivers, I don't get to see them here as much as, you know, as I would if I was out east, but the games I did see, I didn't think, and this is not a knock on Eli, because I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, hands down, but I don't think he had the greatest year. But I think a lot of that could be from young receivers. You know how many times, and I know I've heard Jim talk about it too, you know, people see the ball thrown and it's nowhere near the receiver and everybody else, where's the quarterback throwing the ball? But there was a misread between the receiver and the defense, and he went the wrong way. And it just seemed like a lot of little things, and they just didn't play well. And what bothered me more than anything else, Chris, was they didn't look like they had any spirit. They just looked to me like they were kind of beaten before they came on the field. And then what was it, the third or fourth game, they beat St. Louis, you know, a good ball club. And I thought, okay, now we're going to turn it around and have one of our bad start, great finish years, and we just didn't do it. I think, obviously, now they're going to need a new coach. I think they need maybe a little bit of a culture change where whoever, I don't know anything about Coach McAdoo, but I think they need to come in there with some spirit, come in there with some real, you know, a culture change maybe a little bit. Obviously not with ownership or upper management, but I think culture change within the football program to where they get back to the old Giant pride, knowing that hey, they're the New York Giants, one of the great teams of all time, and what, two-time Super Bowl winner, that kind of thing. And get that enthusiasm back. You know, it's a rough game, as we all know, and it's a nasty game, as we all know, and things. But by gosh, it's a fun game. You're playing. You're getting paid to play. I've always kind of said it, you're getting paid to play a kid's sport, and that's unbelievable when you get that chance. And I just don't think they acted like they were enjoying it. And I think you got to get. Yes, it's a job, but you've got to enjoy what you're doing and really. And really be able to have that enthusiasm and that pride. And I hope we get a good coach in. I heard you talking earlier, and you know, there's some good guys, good names mentioned, and just somebody in there that'll get some enthusiasm and get back to where the game is fun for the eyes too.
Randy, just a couple more before we let you go. And you talk about a culture change. Back in 1970, you spent one season in Cleveland with the Browns. And the Browns were, once upon a time, a very proud organization. They were perennial winners in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And they had a little bit of a revival under Marty Schottenheimer in the late 80s. But something's going on with the Browns. Why can't they seem to figure it out as an organization?
Chris, I am at a total loss on that. They just can't get it together. I don't know whether it's ownership or I don't know what it is, but my gracious me, they don't seem. First of all, you know, I think the Manziel situation hurt them, and then I don't think they've found the quarterback yet. They've had the rotational quarterback situation.
Right.
I know they keep saying, well, we're learning, we're getting better. They've had the problem with the wide receiver. But that organization, as you said, you know, when I went there, kiddingly, one of my we were, that was when the Giants were down, and I went from the New York Giants to Cleveland. I was traded for, I think, a used jersey and one of their old leather helmets. And I went down. Well, actually, what happened was I was cut, and I got a call that afternoon from Art Modell and offered me a job at the Cleveland. And then the Giants traded for Ron Johnson. You remember Ron Johnson, the great running back?
Yes.
He came to the Giants, not on a trade. On a trade from Cleveland. So I've always told people I got traded for Ron Johnson. See, that really sounded good. But they were one of my teammates said, you know, Randy, you're going from the, you know, the toilet bowl to the Super Bowl, because the Giants were really down then, and Cleveland was in the running every year, and what a proud organization, and it just breaks everybody's heart. I talked to a couple guys the other day that I had played with, and last time I saw Leroy Kelly, and we were just kind of remorsing about, gracious me, what has happened. I'm hopeful that if they can get a really solid pick this year, which they have two in the first five, don't they?
Yes.
If they can pick up a couple of really key players, and really get it together, they could come out of this. But it's going to take a real effort. And I can't figure it out. I really can't. From what I've known of Cleveland when I was playing, and then for a number of years after, it just but it certainly has gone downhill quickly.
Randy, we've mentioned your golf course, the Salt Creek Golf Retreat, that people can go online to saltcreekgolf.com to check out. But talk about your golf course, the on-site accommodations that you guys have available, and, of course, the fantastic staff you have working for you.
Well, thank you. We're very, very proud of it. And I'll tell you what, we cannot be prouder than to be a part of Thursday Night Tailgate. We are just so thrilled to be even associated with you guys. But we've got a nice 18-hole golf course. It's challenging, and yet it's not. You don't have to be, a pro to enjoy it. It's really for all golf, all kind of different golfers. I found out after being, being there for a number of years, I found out last time I played, we have fairways. I didn't know we did. The ball was laying in the short grass, and I asked somebody what was. They said, "That's a fairway, Randy." I said, "When did we get these?" But anyway, it's a really, really a nice golf course. It's in great shape, very challenging, but fun. We're very, very proud. We have 36 two-bedroom condominiums that surround the main clubhouse. We do a lot of stay-in plays. Which is groups come in. I think the thing that makes me most proud is that right now we're running at about a 97.5 return rate on all of our groups that come and stay and play. That tells me a lot. But we've got a really, really good staff. They're good people. When we took over about 9-10 years ago, my nephews and I, and we kind of said, look, we want to make this, it's family owned. We're going to make it a family friendly place, meaning that when you come here to our golf retreat, we want you to feel like family. So that's what we push very hard. I think it's been successful. We're getting rave reviews. People are really talking a lot about the course in the best shape it's been in, I think, in a number of years this year, Chris, because we had really good weather, we didn't have the water and then the rain and then the heat, which burns it out. But so it's in great shape. We've got the right people running different portions of it for us. So, we have a lot of banquets, a lot of weddings. We have two major rooms upstairs. So, a great pro shop. We've got a really fine pro, my partner, Ben Van Ness, and, of course, Jen Van Ness, who really sort of runs banquets and weddings and all that kind of stuff. We do a lot of that. So we're very proud of it. It's a nice place. It's a beautiful place to stay. It's tucked right into, well, in fact, along three of our holes is actually Brown County State Park, which is the largest state park in the state of Indiana and one of the most beautiful. So great scenery, great golf, and I'm hopeful that we can say we have great people there because it really is. And I'll tell you what, the four guys came down in May to visit us, and they probably are the first of all, I've been good friends and four of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard as I did those few days. But you guys are the favorites of our place. Everybody asks, ask about you. Jen wants to know when you're coming back. Everybody. But I would say to people, if you want a good friendly place, a good place to stay, I think the accommodations are quite wonderful. The condominiums are all two bedroom, two full bath. They are actually big enough. There are several of them that people actually live in with family. So, and we try to make it so that whatever we can do, your stay will be pleasant and fun and that you'll come back and visit us. So we're very proud of the place. And, I would say to anybody listening, come join us. We'd love to have you. And you guys always are welcome to our place. You know that, you and Bob and anybody. We'd love to have you guys.
Well, it is a fantastic place. Again, saltcreekgolf.com is how you can check it out online. Randy, me and the guys, we're already looking forward to coming back and seeing you and seeing, the friends that we made on your staff and playing some golf and having a good time, because it was a great time last year.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm hopeful that this year I'll be able to play. Found those short grass things called fairways, that I found those. I know where to hit the ball now. I thought you were supposed to play, in the woods and hit around trees and things, or just lose your ball in the ponds. But no, I'm kiddingly. I hope I can get a chance to hit the ball around with you. My back is getting better, so I'm feeling a little better. You guys were such a hit at our place. The people loved having you, and I sure laughed a lot, I'll tell you.
Bob, so did we.
Bob, you got to get down and come join me.
I hope so. One of these years, I will get there somehow, some way. Again, it's an honor, and thank you everything you do for this show too, Randy. It's appreciated.
Well, listen, it's really what you guys do for the NFL alumni that is absolutely phenomenal. An opportunity for our guys to get on here and tell some stories and laugh and enjoy a great talk show. You've done more for us than I think you two will ever know. I hear a lot of our ex-players talking about the opportunity to come on and talk sports and get our names out there. Like I said, it's a pleasure for me and a real honor to be a part of it. And I was so honored to be, in your Hall of Fame. Especially not being really a big name, I for years thought my name was Who's This, because every time I signed an autograph, the kid would turn around and show it to his father and say, Who's This? It's a real pleasure, guys, and we are certainly thankful to be a part of it. And I'm always proud and thankful to get an opportunity to be with you two. You guys do a great job and great guests.
Well,
guys.
We certainly thank you, Randy. You've been such a wonderful part of the show, and not just tonight's show, but every show. You're always sort of part of everything that we do. So thank you very much for that.
Well, it's an honor, and thank you. And keep up the great work, guys. All of us ex-players are very, very proud of the job you're doing and helping us get a little time with the fans and the people and with you too. So. God bless you both. Have a happy new year, and I hope things are well, and looking forward to seeing you guys soon.
All right. Same to us, Randy. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Bob. I'll talk to you guys later.
Good night, sir.
All right. Good night, take care, Randy.
Uh-huh.
That is a great Randy Minear, and we are so very grateful to everything that Randy has done for us over the years as being a part of this show and a part of our Hall of Fame. And like I say, his spirit is a part of every one of these shows, because his wonderful support has really helped us grow this show. So we thank Randy and his wonderful family very, very much. We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony quickly right on the other side of this quick station break.